Well, good afternoon. My name is Pastor Steve. I guess I should say good morning. I'm the lead pastor here at Trinity. Just a couple of quick things I want to share with you in regards to even this effort for the Philippines. We have a series coming up that's going to start in December, the first Sunday of December, called Advent Conspiracy. Our heart in this series is to reclaim the purpose and the meaning of Christmas. We want to reclaim and kind of take it back away from the consumerism mentality. And instead, we want to give during this season. So starting today, as you heard Dr. Warwick say, you can give to ncm.org. You can go online and you can give there. Also, on our website later today, there will be a banner on the front page. If you click on that banner, that will take you directly to the link where you can also give to the Philippines. And the news I want to share with you this morning that's specific to our next series that's starting. Starting next Sunday, we will be receiving a special offering and all the way through the entire month of December. Last year we did the Christmas offering, and the Christmas offering was one Sunday where we gathered in our resources, and that went directly to the work in Costa Rica. Well, this year we're going to spread that over all 4 weeks. So we're going to give specific opportunities during each Sunday for us to be able to give an effort to help the relief effort in the Philippines. And I'm excited about that because I believe that each week I'm going to call the church and challenge the church to look at areas where you can sacrifice, to look at areas where you can maybe cut back so that we honor God first with our tithe. And then when we receive that special offering from the Philippines, for the Philippines, we'll be able to come together and raise the necessary funds in order to meet the needs in that area. I have personal friends, actually, were in that video. I have friends that I met when I was in Thailand and that were devastated by this typhoon. So this has something that is that infects all of us, our Nazarene brothers and sisters, and even those that aren't Nazarene in the world around us. So we have the opportunity to help. Can we do that, church? I mean, can we step up and help in this area? I believe that we can. Also, another quick announcement for you. Next Sunday is a special Sunday. Now, during the 9 o'clock service, we're going to have a regular service. It'll look much like this in our regular morning worship and time, and I'll be preaching. But at 10:45, we have the opportunity to do something unique, something that is different than I've seen before. And it's an opportunity that I believe God has put before us and to worship as a family, as a congregation, and you all are cordially invited to the wedding of Patty Lee and Rick Smith. So next Sunday at 10:45 during this time, the service is going to be a wedding ceremony. And I am super excited about that because a wedding ceremony is a sacrament in the church. It's a sacrament that we typically get to partake in on other days other than Sunday morning. And so for us, we're going to be able to come together, and it's going to be an awesome time to really see the sacrament of a wedding in time, in this place, where we get to worship together and bring these two lovely people together in the union that God has brought together. So join me next week. Again, 9 o'clock will be a regular service, and then 10:45 we'll have this special ceremony. Well, I need you to help me out and go to two passages of Scripture. We're going to be in Matthew 6 and Luke 16. So Matthew 6 and Luke 16. So you want to head over to Matthew 6. We're going to start there and then put your stringy dilly into Luke 16 or your stringos dillos if in the Latin. Put that in there. And as you're going there, I want to do a little setup for you this morning. I actually have never taught on this particular principle ever. This will be the first time that I'm sharing this with you. And I'm not sure actually how many of you have actually heard this teaching that I'm going to share with you this morning. So you know we're in a series called The Blessed Life. And in Blessed Life, you know, it's our opportunity, our time to talk about stewardship, biblical stewardship. And I have to tell you, if you've been visiting with us over the last couple of weeks, I want to kind of maybe set you at ease a little bit. No, not every time you come to Trinity do we talk about finances or stewardship. This is the only time during the year that we come together, we give God the glory because we believe that this is a biblical principle of holy living. We believe stewarding your finances is something that God is honored by, and He wants us to come before Him and learn from Him about what this looks like. So we spend a month talking about it, and then I don't talk about, I don't share, I don't talk about finances throughout the rest of the year. This is our opportunity. But this series is much more than just about finances. And I hope you hear that. I hope you hear that this series, what's woven into this series is actually a couple of different interesting things. In week one, we tackled the issues of the heart. We first started with the heart and understanding what God would have in our hearts to do towards this. In week two, we tackled the priority. We tackled the issues of priority and obedience. We had to look at the priorities and the obedience of our giving. And then in week three, this week, we're going to tackle the idea of desires and trust. So what I need each of you this morning to do is I really want you to lean in and listen to what God is saying. My prayer every time I get up before you is that I would fade back and Christ would be lifted high, and what you would hear is coming from Him, not from me. And so that's my prayer for us this morning. So turning to Matthew 6, we're going to start in verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one, let me say it again just to make sure that there's emphasis added here. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despised the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now here's the interesting thing. The scripture here is actually a little bit misleading. It's a little bit misleading. You see, there's one word in here that changes the whole dynamic of what Jesus was saying and the principle that he was trying to teach. Because you have to remember here, he is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And he's teaching these principles of holy living. And he's talking about this issue. But there's one word in here that kind of skews our understanding. And we have to kind of get past our own understanding here and dive a little bit deeper into what Jesus is communicating. Does anybody want to take a guess what that word is? Okay, I'll take a guess for you. It's money. Money is the word. If you look at Luke 6:24, it says you cannot serve both God and money. Now you're probably confused. And the reason why we're confused is because money shows up 113 times in the scripture. But here's the amazing thing. Jesus uses a word here for money that's only mentioned in the scripture four times. And then actually, twice it's repeated. Or I guess once it's repeated. So it's really only said three times. And here's the other amazing thing. Jesus is the only one who uses this word. That's it. So in the entire Bible, Jesus is the only one that uses this word. And it only shows up in Scripture three locations. And the word is mammon. Mammon. Instead of that word money, you have to go back deeper and look at what Jesus was saying. He was saying this word mammon. And this is important for us to know because it's the only thing that Jesus says you can't serve God and this. So we need to pay particular attention to why Jesus is bringing this up. So the question for us this morning that we obviously have to start at is, what is mammon? What is mammon? And it's obviously, again, important because Jesus says you can't worship mammon and God. Now, before we move on and discover what mammon is, I just have a question. How many of you have heard this word before? How many of you have heard this word, this principle? All right, good, 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 good. So Jesus used this word here, but what I don't want to miss is I don't want to miss what he's communicating in the entire passage. So I want to make sure we nail this down before we go any further. No one, absolutely no one, can serve both God and mammon. You will either hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. So again, we go to, what is mammon? Well, I'm glad you asked, even though you didn't ask. Mammon is an Aramaic word that simply means riches, money, possessions, and property. In the Greek, it translates to mammonas. Everyone say mammonas. So the biblical scholar Joseph Henry Thayer says, mammon is a term for the treasure a person trusts in. I really like that. I like that for us this morning to really kind of take away that mammon is the treasure a person trusts in. Now, the other passage that we had turned to, and you put your stringy dilly in the middle of it, is Luke 16. So turn with me to Luke 16, and we're going to look at verse 10. So Luke 16, starting in verse 10. Listen to these words. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God. And now here's interesting. If you have the NIV in front of you, you might look down and see that word that's there and notice something different about it. Notice what Luke does. Now, Luke didn't write the NIV, but when he was translating this out, he did something very specific. The word money here is capitalized. Because Luke is trying to communicate to us that there is a spirit of mammon that is as if a deity. It's a deity. It's a spirit. It's something that Luke was trying to say. Pay attention here. You can't serve God and this spirit called mammon. So why does Jesus use the word here? Well, to understand that, you have to understand where the word comes from, where it started. Like I said, it's an Aramaic word, but it's an Aramaic word that came from the Assyrian god of riches. So the Assyrians had a god. And that god's name translated down to Aramaic is Mammon. And what's interesting is a lot of people know about the city of Babylon, but a lot of people don't remember where Babylon came from, where the name came from. Well, let me say it kind of slower so that you can maybe hear and gain insight into where this word comes from. Babel on. Babel on. It's kind of like, you know, that lady, man. She just babbled on and on and on. Shouldn't have told me that story, Tony. Yeah. So we have this Babylon. Babylon, as we know, is a city that built this tower, right? The Tower of what? Babel. And we get the Tower of Babel is being constructed, and Babylon jumps in on the Assyrian god of riches. They jump in on this understanding that there's this Assyrian god of riches who they called Mammon. And if you remember anything about the city of Babylon, it literally means, the word means sown or planted in confusion. That's what this city is. This city was sown or planted in confusion. While they were building the Tower of Babel, which was intended to be a tower that would reach to heaven, basically the people of the city were saying, God, we don't need you. We're going to make our own system. We're going to put our own system in place because we believe that we have the ability to create this tower that reaches you. And what does it say that God does while they were building this tower? He confused their language and they couldn't speak. They couldn't speak. They couldn't communicate. I mean, really, if you think about it, the Tower of Babel represents prideful, arrogant spirit of humanity that says, we don't need you, God. We can do it. We can take care of it on our own. Now, you need to hear me here. If you miss this, the rest of the message is going to be really hard for you to track. Mammon is a spirit. And Mammon is the spirit of the false god of riches that Jesus is referring to here in these passages. When Jesus is preaching this message in the Sermon on the Mount, everybody that was sitting at his feet, everybody that was listening to what he was saying, knew exactly when he says, you can't serve God and mammon, knew that he was talking about this Assyrian god of riches. So he would have known. They would have known what exactly he was saying. So here's the big takeaway for us. The big takeaway is, mammon is a spirit that rests on money. Mammon is a spirit that rests on money. All money has a spirit on it. You have to know this. All money has a spirit on it. It either has the spirit of mammon on it, or it has the spirit of God on it. Because when we look at the passage tells us very, very, very clearly right here, you can't serve both. You can't serve two masters. So either your money has the spirit of mammon on it, or your money has the spirit of God on it. right now in your account, in your bank account, in your wallet, wherever you have your assets, whatever it is, it either has the Spirit of God on it or it has the spirit of mammon on it. And I have to tell you this morning, the only way that we can get the Spirit of God on our money is to do exactly what the Bible tells us to do, and that is to honor Him with our first 10%. And in honoring Him with our first 10%, that really is good, that's great, and for some of you, that's where we need to start. But the truth is, it doesn't end there. He doesn't say just to give us 10, you know, to bring the 10% into the storehouse. He says to be good stewards of the 90%. He says to manage the 90% well. And we see that in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23 say the same thing. And this is what it says. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. If you can't be trusted with what he gave you, let me say that differently. If you don't honor him first with what he gave you, why would he trust you with any more? If you're not faithful and honor him with the little that he gave you, why would he desire, why would he trust you with more? Because you're obviously just proving that you can't be faithful. I mean, look, Luke 16, we've already read the passage. Luke 16, verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. It goes both ways. And the thing that we always have to remember that is it all comes from Him. It's all His. The hard truth for us this morning is that if you don't trust God with your finances, then you're trusting the spirit of mammon. Because you can't serve both. So if you don't trust God with your finances, you're trusting the spirit of mammon. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. And here's the problem with mammon. Here's the problem with mammon. Mammon will promise you everything, but it will deliver you nothing. Let me say that one more time, because I'm not sure that you all are tracking with me this morning. Mammon will promise you everything, but it will deliver you nothing. In fact, this is how sneaky mammon is. Mammon promises the things that only God can give us. That's how sneaky mammon is. Mammon tells us the things that we should have or the things that we should do, but the truth is it makes promises that only God can do. Think about it. Mammon promises us security. Mammon promises us security. Now listen, if you had more money, you would be more secure. If you had more money, can you hear it? Can you hear the mammon whispering into your ear? If you had more money, you'll be more secure. Mammon promises us identity. Mammon promises us identity. Think about it. If you had more money, people will listen to you. If you have more money, you'll have more influence. You'll have more of an identity. People will pay attention to you if you have more money. Can you hear the lie of mammon whispering in your ear? Mammon promises us freedom. If you had more money, you can go wherever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, do whatever you want. So mammon whispers in our ear, hey, if you want freedom, all you need is more money. Mammon promises us happiness. This is a tough one, because mammon does a great job telling us that, and we've heard this, our culture breathes and lives and eats this all the time, that if you had more money, what will you be? Happy. If you just have more money, you'll be happy. In fact, if you have more money, your marriages will be saved. If you have more money, you'll be able to do great things. See, these are all lies. And I want you to hear me this morning with everything I have within me. I really want you to hear my heart. Only God can do these things. Only God can give you security. Only God can give you identity. Only God can give you freedom, true freedom. Only comes through Christ Jesus. Only God can give you happiness. Only God can give you significance. Only God can give you purpose. It's only God. Only God can give you love and joy and peace. It's only God. Mammon tells us all sorts of lies. One lie that I hear all the time that scares me. It scares me because it comes from the heart of the spirit of Mammon. Mammon whispers into our ears and says, if you had more money, you would be able to help more people. That's the spirit of Mammon. If you had more money, you'd be able to help more people. Let me tell you, there's only one person that can help people, and He is on the throne, and He is the living Lord, and it's not you. The only thing that you do is listen to what He's telling you to do and living your life according to that way. God is the only one that can help those in need. And we just listen to what He's saying and we do what He calls us to do. That's how people get helped. But it starts and originates and it comes from God and Him alone. Could you imagine? Think about this. Jesus in all of the Scripture never once said that the answer to your problems was more money. I mean, think about this. The blind beggar comes up to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus turns around, He looks at him and He goes, you know, you just need a little bit more money. Right? You just need a little bit more money. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, we laugh because it sounds ridiculous. There is nowhere in Scripture that Jesus says that the answer to your problems is more money. Nowhere. Mammon says to us, I either need God to come through or someone needs to give me money. But here's the problem. When someone gives us money to help us out, we all of a sudden turn around and we say to God, no, God, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need you anymore. I don't need you now. Listen, either the spirit of Mammon is on your money or the spirit of God is on it. If you had a stack of money sitting on a table, I want you to know something. That stack of money will sit there. Because if you think about it, money is neutral. Money in itself can be used for both good and bad. But money needs a spender. Money itself can sit and it'll sit there. You're not going to all of a sudden come back and it's going to get up and walk away. The only way that money gets used is because somebody uses it. The difference is, who are we listening to use it? Are we listening to God to be the ruler and the head of our finances and He's telling us what we're supposed to do with it? Or are we listening to the spirit of Mammon? Are we listening to Mammon and Mammon's telling us what we're supposed to do with it? But either way, money is neutral. Money's not the issue. Money is not the issue because money doesn't spend itself. And really when it comes down, the real heart of this message this morning is this. Who are you trusting? If your finances were sitting in the middle of this room, if your finances were sitting in the middle of this room, is that a warning? Flash flood? Okay, thank you. If a flood came right now, how much of your finances are you going to take with you? Come on, right? Lord help us. But the truth is this morning, if your finances were sitting in this room, who are you trusting with it? Are you trusting God to communicate to you how you're supposed to live with it and what you're supposed to do with it? Are you honoring Him with the first 10% because it's all His, but He just says, give me the first 10. And then steward the 90 well. Are you doing that? Or is the spirit of Mammon on it? Are we listening to this cheap trick, this whispering in our ears of these lies that have been perpetuated for years and years. Some of us, we don't even realize. We don't even realize that it's been the spirit of mammon that has been telling you what to do with your finances for years. It's been the spirit of mammon. It hasn't been God. And it scares me for you. You know how we know it's the spirit of mammon? Because the spirit of mammon doesn't just tell you what you're supposed to do with your money. The spirit of mammon whispers in your ear what you think someone else should do with theirs. Be careful, church. Be careful. Matthew 7:1, do not judge. Do not judge, lest ye be judged. He specifically told us, don't covet. The spirit of mammon whispers in our ear, well, if you had that. Or the spirit of mammon whispers in our ear that, well, they have it and they should do this with it. That's the spirit of mammon. That's not the spirit of God. When you think about it, when it really all comes down to is one thing. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Who do you place your trust in? Do you place your trust more in God or do you place your trust more in mammon? This past week during our family devotional time, man, this story just kind of like just blew up right in front of us. It was an awesome time. And I thought, okay, God, I get it. I get where you're going for Sunday. And so I want to share with you that story. Many people forget that Moses didn't get to take his people into the promised land. Moses didn't get to take them in. In fact, God took Moses up onto the top of the mountain and he looked out and he saw the promised land. And what did he do? He died right there. And a lot of people believe that, well, Moses died before he could take the people into the promised land. No, no, no. When we look at the scripture, God said to Moses, you will not take the people into the promised land. And you know why that is? Because Moses didn't trust God. So in Numbers chapter 20, we see this incredible story. So, of course, in Numbers chapter 20, we see yet again the people of Israel going before Moses and they're complaining. They were like, we just want watermelons and leeks and cucumbers and we just want all this fresh food that we had before. In fact, here in Numbers 20, it reaches a pinnacle and they were like, you know what? Just kill us. I'd rather just be dead. Just kill us. So Moses and Aaron, like any good pastor, you know what they do? They go to God. Like any good pastor, they go to God and they go, God, we're in trouble here. Our people have reached the point where they just want to die. They'd rather die than enter into the promised land. We're in trouble, right? And so these are the words that we read in Numbers 20, verses 6 through 12, as we pick up the story. It says, Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? What a great setup. Verse 11, then Moses raised his arm, and he struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I've given them. Did you see it? Did you see the lack of trust? Did you see the disobedience? I'll give you a hint. It started in verse 8 and it's finished in verse 11. In verse 8, he says, take the staff. Very common. Moses used this staff a lot. He used it all the time. In fact, that staff was always with Moses when he did great, incredible things. He says, take the staff, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Here's the word. Speak to that rock. He said, speak to that rock and water will pour out. Speak to that rock before their eyes and it will pour out its water. And then here we are in verse 11. Then Moses raises his arm, which he's done time and time again, with the staff in his hand, leading his people. And what does he do in verse 11? He strikes the rock. twice. God said, speak to the rock. Moses put more trust in the staff than he did in God. He put more trust in the staff than he did in God. I mean, think about it. The staff has been there for him before. The staff was with him when he parted the waters. The staff was with him to show great miracles. And here's the thing. I really believe this morning the takeaway for us is this. You put so much trust in your finances, you forget that God asks you to honor Him. I know that you may feel like money has gotten you out of jams in the past. I know you may feel like that money's been the one that's been there the whole time. The truth is, what if God's asking us, what if He's asking us to trust in Him enough to honor Him with everything? That's where Moses fell. Moses fell and God calls him out on it. He says, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites. Because you didn't trust in me. Because you didn't do what I asked you to do. And for us this morning, I have to ask us, who do we trust more? You know, the spirit of mammon is really anything that stands in opposition to God. It's not just finances. This morning isn't just about finances. Anything that stands in opposition of God, he says you can't serve two masters. And it's amazing when we start to realize that God is calling us to trust, to just trust in Him. The question for us this morning is, who do you trust more? Who do you trust more? Are you trusting God more or are you trusting the spirit of mammon more? As we close here, we're going to sing a song and I'd like for you to stand with me. And as we close, I want to just put this out there. This morning, I want you to do something pretty simple. We're going to sing a song that simply says, I will trust in you. In everything, I will trust. I will trust in you. That's the theme. And for some of you this morning, if it's finances, if it's anything that stands in opposition to God, if you're putting more trust in something or someone or somewhere than you are in God, then the spirit of mammon has won and he's speaking directly into your ears. And so this morning, you have an opportunity, all of us, to just simply just when we sing this song, this isn't just a song that we're going to sing. It's going to be a response. It's going to be an opportunity for us to make this a prayer. And when it says, I will trust in you, all I want you to simply do is just raise your hand. That's it. Just raise your hand. Because I want you to make that public affirmation that you're saying, God, I will trust in you. It could be for anything. I'm not talking about just finances this morning. I'm talking about anything that stands as a God in your life that is in competition with the one true, holy, and living God. Now, I think we can raise our hands, right? I know we're Nazarenes, but we can be a little Nazacostal, right? And so as we sing this morning and we sing these words, I will trust in you. I just want you to simply raise a hand or raise your hands and just say, I will trust in you. And then as always, the front is open. If you want to come and you're saying this morning that God is leading you to a posture of on your knees before Him, and you just want to simply say, God, I will trust in you, and you want to come and do that, I just leave that to you. I allow you to do that. But if we can all just enter into a presence and a spirit of recognizing where we are, recognizing where God wants to take us, and how we can respond to Him and say, I will trust in you. This morning, as we respond to Him, I just want you to simply bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you could just lift your palms up to Him and just place your hands out in front of you. And then just as an affirmation and a response, if this is in your heart, you don't have to say this out loud, but you can just say this in your spirit. Or if you want to whisper it to Him this morning, Our closing prayer is very simple. And just repeat these words. If this is in your heart and you want to declare this right now, just say this with me. I will trust in you. Because you are all I need. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are dismissed.